This is the Dungeon Master's Handbook. Hello, and welcome back to Dungeon Master's Handbook. I'm Michael, Chicago Wiz, and surprise, I'm back. I have to admit, this is a little bit of a surprise. When I ended the podcast a little over a year ago, I really had done everything that I had set out to do. I had talked about my campaign. I had talked about how I use Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I had talked about the things that I did. And I wasn't getting a lot of feedback, so I figured, well, maybe people aren't interested anymore. Maybe I've kind of hit my max. And I discovered something about myself as a creator. I discovered that I kind of need that feedback. To me, one of the coolest things about having a blog in the early teens was having that kind of feedback. People would come on, people would comment. And there was a dialogue happening, and I grew from that dialogue. And I had kind of thought that maybe a podcast was going to be something similar. Didn't quite turn out that way. Could be the subject matter, could be the, you know, just hadn't reached the critical size of audience yet. Could be that maybe y'all didn't think I wanted to hear from you, and I really did. So anyway, to make a long story short, that's why I ended the podcast and thought, well, you know, it was fun, it was good. But I'm done with it. I'm kind of like that. I can put things down and walk away and say, this is good, this is done, I'm satisfied. So here I was thinking that my podcast was all, you know, done and not coming back to it probably. And I've been getting messages, really nice messages from people from time to time saying, oh, we really liked your podcast. We liked the things you were talking about. And that was nice. But I didn't have a compelling reason as to why I thought I should start it back up. Well, in the unlikeliest of places, I got a great idea. And I can't take credit for it. This is this idea belongs to a user of the subreddit OSR. By the name of Naradia, and they left me a comment saying, oh, I really liked your podcast. I was sorry to hear it, you know, I quit. And I said, well, thank you, and this is why. And they said, well, why don't you just talk about your games as you're doing them now and how you GM? And it was like, really? That is the greatest idea, and why didn't I think of that beforehand? So I poked around, and people were like, yeah, this would be a great idea. I ran a poll on Twitter, and you know, people seemed to really indicate that they thought this was a good idea. So I poked around and found this service called Anchor, and seems to be pretty easy to use. In fact, I'm recording on my cell phone right now. We'll see how that turns out. And so, yeah, here I am, ready to talk about how I do things in AD&D, and you know, we'll see where this goes. I can't promise I'm going to have a podcast, new episode every couple of weeks. You know, it might be monthly, it might be three times in 1 week, who knows? But I will give it a shot and definitely share with you some of the things that are happening in my game and some of the things that I do as a DM, and always willing to do that. So what is going on in my games? Well, right now I have three independent games in my Etnera world. I have the ongoing tabletop game. We meet about once a month. I have an ongoing play-by-post game. And we generally have, you know, posts about once a day, once every other day. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And I started a new game in January for folks that want to meet online. So every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central, I have a D&D game on Discord and Roll20. And that's been working out really well. So I've definitely am not bored in terms of running games. So what is going on in those games? Well, my tabletop game, known as the Eastern Borders Campaign, they are currently exploring a dungeon called Tulloch. It is a dungeon left over back when the big, bad, evil, dark ones from almost 1700 years ago ruled the lands and had enslaved all the civilized races, yada, yada, yada. There was a rebellion. Anyway, so there's this dungeon left over, and the PCs are exploring it for two reasons. One, they want to free some slaves. And secondly, they are trying to find a legendary sword which will help them to defeat the Dark Ones who are coming back. For me as a GM, I can't say I'm doing anything really differently with this one. I went through a dry spell earlier in the year. It was just kind of a mini burnout. Kind of, I just was distracted and busy with other things. And so, as they were getting into the dungeon, I didn't really have anything created. So, to kind of reflect the fact that the first few levels were supposed to be a chaotic set of tunnels and odd places for them to explore, I randomly generated the first three levels as we were playing. I used some, there was this deck of cards, like a dungeon architect cards. That my friend Richard Iorio had given me. I used those, and I used some charts from the Dungeon Master Guide to help me populate those, the rooms and the passages that they encountered. It seemed to go really well, and it got me through a couple of sessions where I could kind of pick myself back up and start planning out the rest of the dungeon. So then I introduced something that I love to do. I love taking monsters and recreating them to things that I see, like movies or things that I read in books. I mean, the monsters as they stand are a lot of fun. But in this case, I wanted almost a xenomorph kind of really alien feel to the monster. Let me take a step back. I don't know if you ever heard of the game To Host a Dungeon. It's a way of building a dungeon, kind of the history of the dungeon, if you will. I had used this previously, oh, I want to say 2, 3 years ago, to generate what Tulloch was all about, the history of Tulloch. And one of the things that had happened was a strange alpha predator had just appeared. So in my head, it was so strange and mysterious, I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great to bring in a xenomorph and really mess with the players? But what kind of iconic D&D monster would fit in with kind of a xenomorph vibe? Dude, the Karen Crawler. This thing is nasty. It gets 8 attacks a round. It will paralyze you with the intent on eating you. Well, I thought, huh. It's not trying to paralyze you to eat you, although it might, but it's really trying to paralyze you in order to implant its eggs into you. And so I developed, the dungeon to look like the xenomorph. I had, told him that there was this hard resin surface. It was kind of slick, kind of, getting that aliens vibe when they built up, when they took over the reactor on that colony. They ran into egg pods. I statted out the baby xenomorphs or Karen crawlers to be more like, regular giant centipedes, but with the same kind of attacks, but it was an easier saving throw. Anyway, so came up with this whole idea of how, they grow bigger and they rip out of people. And as the players started getting close to this area, I started talking about how they were finding goblins and bugbears and whatnot that were had actually ran into these creatures and ended up dying. They had a lot of fun with that, in that they just stayed as far away as they could and ran from these things. So unfortunately, they never got to explore the full level to see what it was that I had waiting for them. So right now, they have reached the level of the demonic fortress. They finally figured out the way to get inside and open doors was by sacrificing a hit point of blood every time they come to a door in order to open it. Now, I've done some kind of cool things with this. Well, cool to me, maybe not to the players. But because they're sacrificing this blood, those hit points can't be regained by magical spells unless the source of the healing is of a chaotic nature. The other thing is that once they've bled open to the door, it will remain, or it'll open for them again for the next 24 hours. So a little bit of give and take there. They can regain the hit points by natural rest as well. So I don't think they've figured quite all that out yet. So players, if you're listening, well, there you go. I just gave you a freebie. they've also encountered the guardian demon, who happens to be a skeleton form of the greater demon that they once were. And this demon claims that they would be sent home to their demonic plane if the players would destroy this gem by using this hammer that is located in the demon forge. And if the players agree to do this, the demon knows exactly where this legendary sword is, and it will basically tell them where to go, guide them, what have you. The players said, oh, okay, we'll go do this. So we'll see what happens. Should be pretty interesting. So that's my Eastern Borders tabletop game. The next game that I'm running that I'll talk about is the Western Borders game, and that is my online game. I started that in January. I run it on my Discord server, which is also where I run my play-by-post game, but I'll get to that in a minute. We use the audio features of Discord, and I do use Roll20. Now, for me, I don't have a lot of time to put into making these amazing battle maps and what have you, because, well, the way I run the game, you know, we can shift locations in a hurry, and I'm not going to try and come up with all those battle maps. So I end up using Roll20 more as a way of putting pictures in front of the players so that way they can see what they're looking at, as well as maybe I'll use it as a whiteboard, so I may call up, you know, to a blank map page and then just draw things out, kind of, you know, using the tools there. It's worked pretty well. I've had about 10 people play. Right now, I have a core group of 4 to 5 folks that play every Tuesday. We've had some people come who started, then they couldn't play anymore. We've had some other people try it out once or twice, and then, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't continue. But by and large, everybody seems to be enjoying themselves, which is always a cool thing. For these players, they are playing in a completely different area of the world. As I've mentioned, my continent is the landmass of Russia. So my tabletop game is taking place on the eastern side, hence why it's called the Eastern Border. My Southern Seas game is taking place on the southwest side of the continent. And so this Western Borders game is taking place on the northwestern side of the continent. It's just a way of, one, me and the players get to explore a completely new area of the world. And secondly, it avoids any potential overlaps or issues that may come from overlaps. So seems to be working so far. Now, what these players are doing is they are clearing out a ruined castle area. It's been full of orcs, goblins, kobolds, and potentially something even worse. They have hints that there are other forces, perhaps evil mages there. So they're exploring very cautiously. So my inspiration for this whole castle area is the iconic module B2 Keep on the Borderlands, the Caves of Chaos, where as the players work their way through, they would start off with, you know, somewhat easy monsters, and then as they kind of explored through the cave area, things would get harder and harder and harder. I've done much the same. The players first ran into a tower full of kobolds. Well, actually, they were underneath the ruined tower. Then they came to a moat house, which, yes, I used the moat house from the Village of Hamlet. There were goblins and a bugbear there. Then right close by was a, within the castle, was a set of towers that guarded the inner bailey from the outer bailey. And in that area were orcs and an ogre. So they've managed to make their way through that section so far. And they've done a good job of tearing it up. I've challenged them. I've treated it like a military encampment. They've managed to run away at the appropriate times and attack at the appropriate times. So I'll give them a lot of credit for doing that. They're doing awesomely. And they are right now about ready to take a trip from the small little kind of podunk village that they've been working out of, a village called Geierford. And they are going to go east to a small city called Tanya, where they hope to unload a lot of the things that they found, because it's just too expensive to unload all of these gems at the little village that can't afford it. So we'll see what shenanigans they get into as they go on an overland adventure. And actually, I think I will cover that kind of stuff in a future post about how I set up my overland adventures. I think I've done that before, but, you know, never hurts to revisit the topic. Finally, my last game, The Southern Seas. So this is my play-by-post game that's been going on for 5 years now. We started off on a service called Rizoma. Now, Rizoma is a clone of an old technology called Google Wave. Google Wave came out in like 2009, I think, around that period, and lasted till about 2013, 2014, when, you know, Google does what they normally do and kills things. I had started a play-by-post game on Google Wave, and it was so much fun. And so when I restarted my campaigns in 2015 after a little hiatus, you know, we found this service Rizoma, which was a clone of Google Wave, and it seemed to work for a while. I want to say in the past 6 months to a year, it's been very unreliable, though. And with the advent of mobile and a lot of people using mobile as their primary way of you know, doing things, Rizoma wasn't that mobile friendly. So I talked to them, what do you want to do? And one of the suggestions was, hey, let's try Discord. Well, I did have my Discord server for my online game, so I said, sure. So we've been doing it for about a month now, play by post on Discord, and it seems to be working out okay. A little bit different format, a little bit different the way things flow, but by and large, it seems to be pretty successful. Now, those players are currently exploring an island city called Ramathia. Ramathia used to be a wonderful city. Think of like, you know, Hawaii kind of, you know, wonderful and built up and, you know, very posh, and, you know, everybody wanted to go there. And then when the doom happened, the volcano exploded and everybody fled. So my players are going there because they are helping elves see if the elves can find clues in Ramathia as to where the elven homeland is. Because right now the elves had no idea where they came from. They came over on ships, they landed on the continent, they helped the humans to defeat the Dark One, but they are lost and they have no idea where they came from. So the players are helping them to do this. Now, they're currently exploring a sacked temple. And that's been kind of interesting because they stumbled onto what is some sort of a powerful priestly staff, but it apparently has a bit of the essence of the deity that this temple and former priest worshipped. So when the cleric of the party attempted to interact with the staff, he and the staff's deity had a little discussion, and the player wasn't really interested in changing religion. So the staff said, "Well, then go find me someone who will wield me in my name." So they're carrying that along. Another interesting thing that happened in my play-by-post game is I actually had a level drain. There are, I call them lesser wraiths and greater wraiths. A lesser wraith is equivalent to a wight, but not exactly the same kind of creature. If you think of a greater wraith as like a really powerful Nazgul, then a lesser wraith is a less powerful Nazgul. Anyway, one of my players was fighting this wraith and got touched and had the level drain. Now, I know a lot of people are against level drains. I don't mind them so much because I try to add in flavor. Rather than saying, "Oh, well, you lost a level, sucks to be you, have a nice day." In my mind, being touched by one of these creatures is kind of similar to how Tolkien did the Morgul Blade. If you remember at the Weathertop, I think Amon Hen, Amon Hul. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of Tolkien fans that are now gonna yank my geek card. Anyway, when Frodo gets stabbed by the Nazgul with a Morgul Blade, I kind of equate what happened to Frodo as a type of a level drain. Injured, life was sucked out of you, but now this player is suffering the after effects. So they're very sensitive to undead, and we'll see what other. I have some other effects planned that this player may encounter. So while, yeah, it sucks that they lost a level and they got level drained, there are some things that are happening that, not to offset it, but at least making it so it's not just a simple bam, you're done. The other thing is that I think in the future I'm going to allow a save versus death to avoid the actual drain itself. I think that's just fair. I tend to not like instant death things unless it's really well, advertised. And it could be that maybe for the greater undead, there is no saving throw. It could be, it's just for the lesser. I don't know. We're going to flesh it out and figure it out. But that's how I like to handle that. So that's it with my three games. The other thing that I'm doing differently now is, I know I talked about in a previous podcast about the ways that I changed my AD&D and I house ruled it. I've kind of gone back on one of my house rules. I now try to run AD&D combat by the book. That means with the initiative, determining what segment you go in, how charges work, how weapons length work, how weapon speeds work. And I gotta tell you, it's not nearly as complicated as everybody has thought it might be. It is more complicated than, say, basic D&D, expert D&D. But really, at the end of the day, most of my players have not really minded the change at all, which I'm grateful for, and I think it's kind of neat that I'm now playing AD&D somewhat more to as it was truly intended. But I'd like to talk more about the AD&D combat in a future podcast. I also want to touch on my war games real quick because if you've listened to previous podcasts, you may know that one of the features of my campaign is that I do war games out of my campaign world, and that the war games can affect the players and the players can affect the war games. It has happened in the past of my campaign. That kind of slowed down as well. I got distracted with other things, time took it away, and I haven't done as much on the war games themselves. But recently, I've restarted that up too. And in fact, I just had a battle which is going to impact my tabletop players. They may find out that their home base may have some problems, but we'll see what happens. Okay, well, that's it. That's kind of a summary of what's going on with my games and maybe some interesting tidbits on what's going on with them. I think future podcasts, I definitely would like to talk about some of the changes and, you know, continue talking about the games as they happen and maybe as things come up, decisions I've had to make, rulings I've had to make, interpretations of the rules I've had to make, I'd like to talk about them. One really neat thing about Anchor is if you're listening to this on the Anchor website, or if you go to the Anchor website and you find my podcast there, you can actually talk to me. You can leave a voice message, maybe with a question, maybe with a comment, and then I can include it in future podcasts, or not if you don't want me to. But this would be a great way. If you have questions, if you're like, hey, you know, tell me this thing about AD&D combat, or can you go into more detail about the level drain, leave me a voice message. I think that would be awesome. All right, well, that's about it for now. To my old podcast audience, it's great to be back. Thank you so much for the kind comments. If you're listening to this for the first time, welcome. I have 17 previous episodes that cover my campaign and all the things that I do in it. I hope you'll give them a listen, and I hope to hear from you. So that's it for now. Game on.